Now, look, last week was not, the news was full, basically, is the way of putting it, of violent pet dog attacks in Australia. And tragically, we saw a 12-month-old killed by a Rottweiler in New South Wales. And a couple of days later, a 10-year-old was hospitalised after being mauled by a 75-kilo South African Mastiff in suburban Melbourne. And of course, the attacks have made brought the issue of dog safety into sharp focus for many people. I mean, how do these attacks happen? And what can we do to prevent these tragedies from occurring in the first place? Well, Dr. Paula Parker, the president of the Australian Veterinary Association, joins us on the show once more. Dr. Parker, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what actually can trigger a pet dog, like a family pet, to become agitated and attack like that?
Yeah, there are a range of things that can cause a pet dog to sort of express aggressive behaviour. And we see these often culminate when pets come into the vet clinic. So it's things like being in pain or feeling unwell, being anxious or frightened by a different situation or a different person, or feeling threatened. So, for instance, if a dog feels cornered in a room and can't see a way to escape that corner, then they can become quite frightened and that can make them aggressive.
We see a lot of kind of myths, I think, about certain breeds being more aggressive. I mean, is there a nature issue here, or are we talking mostly about training, treatment and health?
Yeah, things that you mentioned are really important. So things that play a role in whether or not a dog becomes aggressive, there's some parts to do with their genetics. It's a lot about their early life. Development from puppies from 3 to 12 weeks is a really key development period. So that early life period, how they're socialised and trained as young dogs and how that goes on, and their physical and mental health at the time. And then, as we mentioned before, the situation that the dog's in at the time.
You did mention that genetics plays some part in it. How much?
A lot of breeds that we see have been bred to be attack dogs, unfortunately. Mm. And that's not so much about the genetics of a dog. It can be about the culture of the early life of that dog. So what's really important when we're talking about preventing dog bites is for everyone to understand that they can happen in any breed. And it's about encouraging everybody to be really focused on that early life socialisation. And then as they get their puppies, training and socialisation that continues at home.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I imagine that when we've got quite a popularity for big dogs at the moment. I mean, do you think there's a good set of best practice rules for keeping them safe and sort of storing them, I guess? Or, you know, not storing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to be aware that our bigger dogs have a bigger physical size, and so they can inflict more damage if they're put in those situations. And so it's incredibly critical that we all follow those principles about making sure that their early life sets them up well and that we focus on that training and socialisation. And then we've really got to pay attention to things like not leaving our dogs and our kids unsupervised together, and making sure that we have a good fence around our place so that our dogs aren't getting out into the community, not able to jump the fence or jump through the fence. And when we're walking them outside, one of the really good things that you can see now is there can be a category of sort of lead colours, if you like, where you can have a green lead or a yellow lead or a red lead. And that helps tell people in the community who are walking towards those dogs, okay, this dog gets a little bit worried when other people are coming up to it, or we really should try and avoid this dog in the community, or this dog's friendly for people to come up to it. Because when dogs are outside, if they have unpleasant experiences out in the community, that can make them frightened as well.
I hadn't heard about the lead system before. That's obviously a voluntary thing at the moment, I imagine.
Yeah, it is voluntary, but it's easy to do, and it's something that helps the experience for those dogs to be more positive, because it sort of tends to sort of stop people rushing up to them when they're out in public. and then it helps the safety of everybody in the community as well.
Look, you mentioned fencing before too. Do we have any regulations around that in New South Wales particularly? I mean, are there any penalties for people who aren't perhaps fencing in animals the way they should be?
Yeah, absolutely. There are regulations that talk about your requirement to keep your pet inside the confines of your property. But one of the challenges that we can find in these situations with policymakers is that often the kind of enforcement, if you like, of those regulations, the resources often aren't available to do that. So there are rules and regulations that are out there that are designed to help keep the community safe, but they're not effective if we're not continuously following up on those things. And governments investing in funding those sections of the government which look after these things are a really important part of reducing the incidence of these things in the community.
Look, if people are concerned about their dog's disposition, what can they do? What should be the first step?
Yeah, the first step should be to give their local vet a call and have that really good relationship with their local vet where they can talk through the things that are concerning them. And the first step often with pets is to check their physical and their mental health. Because quite a lot of them, we will see these behaviours develop over time because they're trying to tell us that something's wrong, something's not happy with them, and their regular vet can help them get to the bottom of that. And then their vet can help them with things to do at home, extra risk mitigation strategies to put in place, and how they can keep their pet comfortable and keep everybody safe.
Look, Dr. Parker, a sombre topic, but always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for chatting.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Paula Parker there, President of the Australian Veterinary Association. Some very simple ways of, preventing some of these incidents from occurring. And as she said, the first step is always talk to your local vet.